Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and the very first undisputed champion in WWE history, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the sound, Jimmy Hart.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hey, you've got Terry Funk here.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE.
This is Matt Hardy.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Kid TJ Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sound.
And anything. It's still real to me, damn it! With your host.
Are there any assholes in the building?
Tim Stein.
The head asshole in charge.
Spud.
That boy is an asshole.
Mace.
Quote the Raven. Eat my shorts.
Will.
Hey, yo.
And the Omega.
Of the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
I came to play.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
I
pray.
Came to play.
To the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch if you
I came to
I
play.
Came to play. You get my two pay. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be
saved. I came to play.
And another thing about how old Tim Stein is. Sorry, that's last night's script. I'm sorry. You all need to go hear that at wildtalkradio.com. Last night's edition of CB Radio is on the air. You need to listen to it. Good evening and welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, this is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network. And me and my friends just got done going through hell. In a cell. Good lord. But with me tonight to cover this, we have Mace.
Oh, I just got hit in the back of the head with a shoe by my little brother. I've been disqualified from talking on this event.
Oh, damn it, not again. And we also have Spug.
You must got
hit in the head with an urn. I didn't realize how high and drunk I was last night. Oh my god.
Should have continued into tonight. It would have helped.
Or should start right now. It might blot it out.
Oh my god. Oh, funnier things happened after I got off the air last night.
Funnier than me?
Yeah.
Would you like to share with our listeners before we get to the bad part of the show?
No, because I'm waiting to see if a police officer shows up at my door or not. You know it was a good night when you think the cops got called.
Awesome. So, in other words, we're going to find out after the show goes off the air.
Oh, I cannot wait to hear that. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Otaku Talk Live edition of WTR Sunday Night, because no one else is here!
Yay!
Because, see, Will still is at an AA meeting, and Tim is off celebrating his... What number birthday is this?
I believe he's up to the bicentennial, so that'd be 200 years.
I thought it was the century mark.
No, we worked it out last night. It was the bicentennial.
Is it? Bicentennial? Well, good for him. I'm glad to see he's still kicking at this old age.
Alright, so I don't want to waste any more time here. I want to get straight to this so we can get it out of the way. This was WWE NA, the pay per view build. So you know it had to be good. This wasn't good?
No.
No.
All right, so we take this one match at a time, as always. Starting off the night, United States Championship, Bryan Danielson versus The Miz and John Morrison, with the American Dragon retaining. Who wants to start? I guess we should start with Spug, since one of his man crushes was in the match.
It was a decent match. You know what? I'm not going to lie. I missed like the opening of it. I missed the opening of the pay-per-view. I caught it when Randy Orton and Sheamus was on. So I got to go back and watch this match while the Divas were wrestling, because apparently I really didn't miss anything there.
Not really.
But I will say that the match was really good. It was fast-paced, but goddamn, I really don't want to believe that Morrison has that much disrespect where he would oversell and over-dramatize a simple leg lock like he did in that match.
Well, considering it is a submission match, you can't expect him to ham it up a little bit anytime any submission hold's put on.
Not to the extent. Mace has been in the ring. He'll understand. He'll understand exactly where I'm going with this. To the extent that Miz oversold that, you know, you can't ham it up that much.
It wasn't quite Shawn Michaels overselling Hulk Hogan back at SummerSlam levels, but still, it was a tiny bit overboard.
Yeah, it wasn't quite as bad as Hogan Michaels, but still.
Yeah, I don't know, sort of, with this match. Like, it was a great wrestling stipulation. Too bad the crowd couldn't get into it. I think the only time I heard them actually cheer was when Morrison decided to climb up, you know, the main part of the stage build-up and dive off.
Right.
You know, but those three worked extremely well and actually gave us decent wrestling. But I guess we're just that type of fan that remembers that there is meant to be wrestling on a wrestling show.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah.
Excuse me, you are going to have dinosaurs on your dinosaur tour?
We're not talking about Hulk Hogan yet.
Sorry.
But you're right. I mean, good opening match. I mean, these three do put on solid openers, especially when there's a title involved. I don't understand why you dive off a steel structure during a submission match, but it looked pretty.
He's trying to flip his opponents into submission.
No, it's because he does that parkour or whatever the damn thing is.
Extreme walking.
Yeah, that thing.
Which is impressive. I admit, he's good at it.
Yeah, I was trying to see if they actually had built in little holes into the stage so he could grab on and jump up, but I think he was actually doing that properly without any extra shit being built into the stage.
He did it to fuck with you.
Yeah, but that sort of becomes a common theme tonight, fucking with people's heads.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Speaking of fucking with us, we actually got to see the cattle mutilation on WWE television for all of 3 seconds.
Oh, yes. That was pimp. That was pimp.
And it makes me wonder why he's doing this LaBelle lock, which is basically the crippler crossface, instead of doing the cattle mutilation, which looks more impressive.
I think because it looks so strange compared to your typical submission hold or trying to test the waters first, which it got an okay reaction from the crowd when he put it on.
You know,
yeah, that'd be a hardcore mark, sir.
I actually think the LaBelle lock looks better than the cattle mutilation.
More effective.
Well, it's cattle mutilation.
Cattle mutilation may be more effective, but remember, this is WWE. Everything has to look good. It doesn't have to be effective. Hence why we have John Morrison doing spinny flips off of steel onto steel in his submission match.
I don't think he exactly does spinny flipping moves. He just kind of jumps off shit.
He's like the retarded Jeff Hardy.
Wait, what does that make Jeff Hardy?
You know what? Never mind. Forget I said anything.
Yeah.
Move along.
I will say this. This was the submissions count anywhere match. Do you think they actually used that stipulation? Or do you think they used it well?
Well, yes, of course they used the stipulation, considering that the tap out was done on the ramp.
Did they use it well, Mace?
Could have been used better, but it was good enough for what the WWE does.
All right, so do you want to letter grade this one?
Yeah, initially I gave it a B+, but after seeing the rest of the stuff that happened throughout the night, this one actually got pushed up to an A. It's match of the night. By, like, several miles.
Pretty by comparison.
Exactly.
Spug, your rating, please?
B.
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 I can take that. This was a B for me as well. Good opener. Good showing from these three guys.
It was a solid opener.
Yeah. That three just might be the next generation for the WWE. I'm hoping this is the start of something. It won't be, but you never know.
It could be worse.
Oh, it's going to get worse.
No. I know.
Next up, WWE United States. No, hang on. I want to keep talking about that match too much. I don't want to go any further. WWE title match. Randy Orton versus Sheamus.
Fella.
In our first of two Hell in the Cell matches.
See, I liked that match. I did. There was psychology in it. There was... You could tell that they were trying to work a story and tell a story between the two. It wasn't a bad match. It really wasn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a bad match by any stretch.
I mean, I'll handicap it right off the bat and give it a B as well.
Lex and Orton match. Oh my god.
I don't mind super queer.
Who, Michael Cole or Orton?
Orton.
Okay.
No, Michael Cole is super mega ultra queer.
See, what did he do tonight? Did he called some guy's move cute? Can't remember if it was Edge or Swagger.
Swagger.
That figures.
He was practically being restrained by Stryker and Lawler at the end of the first match because he wanted to jump out of his seat and run to the Miz's aid.
Tell you what pisses me off more and more about Cole, it's not the fact that they're trying to turn him heel or make him biased towards certain individuals. What pisses me off the most about Michael Cole is the fact that the dude knows shit about wrestling. Shit.
Yeah. Well, think about how long he's been in the WWE, and not only does he still know shit, he's still making these really bad mistakes. Did you catch him at one time calling Stephanie McMahon Triple H's husband?
No, but no. That was goddamn funny.
It was.
I missed that one, but I did notice that he referenced the Huss of Pain during the first match.
No, Stryker referenced Stryker.
Was that Stryker, was it?
Yeah, Stryker's the only one that knows what these moves are called.
Wow.
You know, you notice, you know, Cole laughing at the name Cattle Mutilation.
Cole had no clue.
Yeah.
No clue.
And he was proud of the fact that Lay Cool talked to him backstage, and as we all know, women need that one gay best friend.
Oh, the thing that aggravates the living shit out of me about Cole, more so than any one particular thing, is his lack of knowledge of the wrestling industry. And he sits there with Stryker and King, who have both been in the ring and both gone through school. And King, who has... Does he still have the record for most championships won, ever?
Yeah.
I believe he still does. I mean, you're going to sit there and try to tell these guys what the wrestling business is all about? Really, dude? STFU.
Oh, jeez.
But yes, enough Michael Cole bashing.
Yeah, you can tell we are stalling, so we don't have to go any further.
But the Sheamus Randy Orton match, for me, it wasn't a bad match. I've seen both guys put on better matches. This actually has shown how well Sheamus has come along as a performer, especially since being put in the main event. He's able to work with guys like Orton and actually, like Spug said, tell a story, which is a great step up from when he started, when he couldn't really do shit. And considering that this was one of two Hell in a Cell matches, this one is by far the better Hell in a Cell match of the night, and I throw a B out there for it.
Yeah, the way the rest of this night went, this should not have been the second match of the night. This should have been your main event. I mean, this was a really good match. I mean, you're right. Sheamus has come a long way. As Triple H's pet project, I was kind of laughing at how fast he got pushed to the top card, but he's growing by leaps and bounds every time I see him. So, I mean, I'm believing it at this point. You know,
don't like him. I still think he looks like Beaker on fucking steroids.
I don't think there's disputing that. But yeah, this match is a B for me too. Though I'm ashamed that a Hell in the Cell match and the best weapon of the night, or the best weapon of the match, is the ring steps.
What aggravates the shit out of me is that, we all know that Vince has toned back WWE because of Linda's Senate run. They may not admit it, but we all know it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, though, is that I've seen indie shows that were PG-rated, but there's blood. The blood is part of the story. I've seen horror movies that are PG-rated with blood. When you wrestle a specialty match, a gimmick match, like a Hell in a Cell, the blood is part of it. How hard is that for these people to understand?
Yeah, that could not have been more evident than our main event. I think we're going to get to that in a bit here. We're going in order.
I know. Trying to get through it as quickly as possible.
We'll get it there. Don't worry. Next up on the card... Well, this wasn't on the card, actually. Alberto Del Rio came out and acted like a douchebag to burn some time.
I like him. I really do. I think he's going to be one of the next top heels in the company.
Alrighty.
Well, he's a great magician, too. But keep going, Omega.
Alright. The now suddenly face Edge comes out, trying to rid the stupid out of the WWE. He's got a long, long way to go.
At this point, I just want to bring this up quickly. Joey Styles with an awesome call on his Twitter, saying that if Edge wants to eliminate the stupid out of the WWE,
Michael Cole was
in
front of him.
Joey Styles on Twitter tonight was absolutely hilarious. The dude was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Again, there's the guy that should be commentating. But anyway, Edge coming out, Swagger comes out for revenge, and we have what? This is pretty much the same thing we saw on Friday night.
No, this was technically a Raw match because the GM came back with the brand new MacBook and announced the match.
Steel reinforced MacBook.
Yeah.
So here's my problem. When they do these impromptu matches on pay-per-view that take up, 15 minutes of showtime, what the fuck were they planning originally that was going to fill that gap?
Something not nearly
as good. I have no
idea.
But before we go too far into the match,
yeah.
I'll finish your thought and then I'll bring up my thought.
Right. Well, you're booking for, they go into this knowing, it's not like a Raw where, they can go over time a little bit. You've got a 3-hour slot booked on pay-per-view and you can't go over that. Why the hell, how the hell would you have time to just, shove a match in there? Otherwise, you're planning on going out 40 minutes early? I mean, that works so well for December to disremember.
Yeah. But just while we sort of had the GM talk up and going, I want to know, between you guys and Rock, if he wants to speak up, what was the better moment this week in wrestling? Edge elbow dropping a computer or Flair dropping the knee on Mick Foley's book?
I think you have to give it to the knee on the book. I mean, at least when you're beating the shit out of the computer, talking the GLaDOS voice from Portal, at least he's attacking the thing that, is causing his rage. Whereas, Ric Flair's just really pissed off at a book.
So would the knee on the book be called vintage?
Hang on, I gotta get a drink.
And at least with the knee on the book, at least we didn't have, a broken computer with the power suddenly turned off to the screen screaming, "Help me, Cole!"
Help me, Cole. Who has ever uttered those words?
Obviously the Raw GM.
Michael Cole, save me!
It's probably his boyfriend still trying to get away from him.
Oh, jeez.
So yes, Edge versus Swagger.
About it. This is one of those matches that could have had on TV, and it'd still be a mediocre match.
Agreed. Yeah. It gets a C. Average.
Yeah. This is a C match. Nothing special going on here. Unless Spug saw something magical that we missed?
No, I'd give it a B-. I mean, it was a decent match. They wrestled well. It wasn't the end-all, be-all. So, I mean, it was all right.
Are you still somewhat high after yesterday?
No, but it could have been worse.
The eagle could have interfered.
It could have been worse. It could have been Natty versus Lay Cool.
Oh, you know what? I got it. Jack Swagger and the Eagle versus Edge and the Gobbledygooker.
I'm going to take Edge and the Gooker.
Yeah, same.
See, there's a pay-per-view match.
Yep. Especially if you want to fill in 15 minutes.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd still take Edge and the Gooker.
Oh, yeah. So, that's half of our cards so far.
You think you know me.
And this is time for a commercial break. Stay tuned, we are talking the rest of the match, as well as the horrors of the Hell in the Cell, Taker and Kane, when we come back.
Here's a great way to stay up to date with the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sign up for the official WTR newsletter That's right. Wild Talk Radio now has an official newsletter, the only place to keep up to date on the goings-on in the WTR universe. From show previews, exclusive interviews with the hosts and celebrities, and special contests just for those who sign up. Submit your email address and subscribe today to the WTR newsletter.
There's so much more to the internet than porn. Like this.
Just like driving on an open highway. Turning face to stars and stripes. Hand me one more. That's what I'm here for.
All my favorite songs.
Playing the best country music.
It's the absolute best in country music with the TD Top 20. The top 20 songs in all of country music. Right here on WTR with your host, The Trade-On.
Come on, DJ. Hit me with another track.
Get up and party while we count them down. And check in with artists that make these hits happen, like Jason Aldi.
Bartending, I can do that. Anything you like to drink, I'm pretty good at that. Crown and Seven is my specialty.
And Carrie Underwood.
That's an amazing, sad, and happy time in somebody's life. And the daughter saying, it's okay, Mom, you know, he's good. He treats me like he's supposed to treat me. This is what you would want for me. This is a man that you would want for me.
Are we on the air?
Yes, you are.
The TD Top 20 Countdown with your host, The Trey Dog, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central, every Saturday night on Wild Talk Radio and the SNS Radio Network.
The station with the
best music.
Best music.
I love the music.
I love the music.
Best music.
Wild Talk Radio.
WTR.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement, we get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ told me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night. Constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
This is Matt Hardy, version 1, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night, along with the biggest MFers on the planet. And they're setting up and learning from the sensei of Mattitude. So make sure to tune in each and every week and catch Russell Talk Radio. And in closing, I am the one! Oh.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Hell in the Cell coverage, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're entering the second half of the show, running down three more matches, including our main event. But first, I think we get to talk about one of the smartest things WWE has done in a long time.
Really? WWE and smart? Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, we have a diamond in the rough on this pay-per-view. It was Wade Barrett versus John Cena, and was the stipulations that I hate, you know, where it seems like the outcome is obvious. You know, either Cena joins the Nexus, or the Nexus disbands. And my expectations were defied, as John Cena actually loses.
Yes, but it's not Cena losing that we're actually amazed at. It's how they've done it that amazed us. By
right.
the way, part of which I called him.
For those unaware, for those who didn't get to see it, someone dressed, you know, just your plain old ordinary street clothes, tries to run into the ring, ref immediately gets on top of him, security starts dragging him out, and Cena's looking dumbfounded at it. You know, it looks like a legitimate run-in or a legitimate fan interference. And then blindsided by a second guy running past. Knocks him out, Barrett gets the three count, and Cena actually has to have a change of character, if only for a little while.
No, we're hoping this leads to a change of character.
Not necessarily... I don't know if a change of character exactly. I'm at least hoping that there's a little bit of smarter booking with him and Nexus from here on out. Because the reluctant partner is nothing that we haven't seen already.
Yeah, but hopefully this leads into a slow heel turn with Cena, which, as I mentioned in our production chat, I love slow turns because it makes it seem psychological rather than I hit you over the head with the chair, all of a sudden I'm heel now. Boomy. You know, I want to see Nexus get inside Cena's head and slowly bring him to their way of thinking.
Didn't I say this?
Yes, you did.
Didn't I say this last week? And the man with Alzheimer's shot me down? Didn't I say that Barrett was going to win this, that Cena was going to go heel?
But that's the thing, Cena hasn't gone heel yet.
Oh, he will. He will, and god damn it, I love it when I'm right.
There's a few ways they could play this. I suggested last week where this could be Cena able to take apart the Nexus from the inside out, seeds of doubt, that kind of thing. Peel the group apart from each other. And he wouldn't turn heel to do it. Or, yes, there's a few ways to turn him heel. Personally, I like him to almost split. Like, think, we've got two guys that just made a run in tonight who are obviously sided with the Nexus. That's a group of eight now. You know, in a team that worked well with five for the last few weeks.
I think they're kicking two out.
What I would hope would happen is for some of the group's members to wise up and see that Barrett's not getting them very far. And if Cena, who is slowly thinking the way they're thinking, takes over, they might get somewhere bigger. So Cena goes heel, you know, kicks Barrett and couple of his loyalists out, and you have a new Nexus group.
Now,
especially if you're going to use that to bring in the Season 2 rookies into the group.
See, I think they're kicking a couple of them out. I really think they're going to thin the herd a little bit and get rid of Otunga because he's just dead weight. And I hope the fucking Ginger Kid, too. He's so unimportant I can't even remember his name.
I think right. he's been that lackluster. I don't think any of us remember his name.
I think Barrett and Gabriel are the only ones that anyone remembers from Nexus.
No, I like Tarver. That's only because I know Tarver. Tarver's not bad. I don't like Gabriel. I really don't. I've seen hundreds. I mean, watching wrestling for as long as any of us in this conversation or listening to us on WildTalkRadio.com have, you know, we've seen hundreds of individuals in the exact same moveset and mold of Justin Gabriel come before him. He's overplayed and boring.
But he does such a pretty spinny flippy.
Yeah, and so does Evan Bourne. And so did Jeff Hardy. And so did Matt Hardy. And so did Rey Mysterio. And so did Eddie Guerrero. And so did Rob Van Dam. And so the list goes on.
So did Kurt Angle when he wasn't landing on his head.
Right.
And same with Brock Lesnar. Again,
so
if he wasn't
Brock
landing
Lesnar
on his head.
did a great shooting star press in OVW.
Yeah, too bad when he pulled out of WrestleMania, he face-planted.
You know, it's fine when 100 people are watching him, but a few million and he chokes.
Just, you know, I don't like Gabriel at all. I think that group would be better suited if they booted out Gabriel, Otunga, and the stupid ginger kid. And brought in the two and made it a group of five. If you had seen a Barrett, Tarver, and what's-his-nuts and who's-his-face that ran in tonight.
Now, you see, Barrett's the only one out of this group that's really going to get a solid push. He's already been in title matches at this point.
That's because Barrett's an awesome heel.
Well, yeah, he is a good heel, but he and John Cena would never coexist in the Nexus. You wouldn't make him, you know, a follower of Cena because then you diminish what you've built up with him. And you wouldn't have them getting along because there'd be an ego trip going on. You'd have to peel him off and let him be his own heel.
What if there's two Nexus groups?
Well, I think I just suggested that, where Cena would kick out Barrett and his... What?
No, I mean two legitimate, separate Nexus groups. You have a Barrett-run group with the original members, and then you have the Season 2 guys who follow Cena.
Yeah, but that idea could be destroyed because of What's-His-Face and What's-His-Nuts are quite possibly Season 2 members.
That's what I mean. Like, if they came in to get Cena to join Nexus, you know...
But then what sense would it make?
You know
the
what, never mind. Forget
that
I
caused
even
Cena to lose.
Like, forget it. Forget it.
You saw the own flaw in your own logic?
I did. I started to think about it. And I was crazy. You know what the greatest part of that match was? The greatest part of that match was after Nexus leaves the ring and the arena goes silent. The music stops and they start panning around to the faces of all the women and idiot children looking like Santa Claus just got mutilated in the middle of the ring. Great! Oh my god!
It was brilliant!
Oh, it was awesome! I forget who... I want to say it might have been 10 or 15 seconds after they started panning into the crowd. They showed this one dopey kid with glasses, with a purple shirt on, purple armbands on, the headband, everything. And he's sitting there, he's got tears in his eyes. I was like, oh my god, cry for me. Please cry for me. Great.
It's going to provide such great stock footage of shocked children for Monday night.
But it's just one of those things of, okay, yeah, the three of us, we can sit here and go, okay, yeah, it's planned, you know, that wasn't a legit thing. But to the average fan, that looked legit, and to be honest, to fool people that well, you know, that's definitely applaud-worthy for the WWE. They really gave us something we weren't expecting. And at the same time, it was something that we can actually say, well done, you pulled off a great job there.
I would like to say thank you to the WWE for finally giving me what I've wanted after the last, I don't know, 5 years. Thank you for allowing me to see stupid Cena fans cry like little bitches.
Okay, someone remind me, what did Joey Styles say about this?
I'm going to put on my Nexus t-shirt and armband and drink the tears of the John Cena fans. Or something like that.
I love Joey.
Something close. It was great, though.
Here we go. I'm going to put on a Nexus t-shirt and armband and go drink the tears of John Cena fans. So, yeah, I got it correctly.
It was great, though. It was absolutely great.
Yeah, if you want the real commentary, you got to follow him on Twitter. He's doing a hell of a lot better job with no microphone than Michael Cole is.
It's because Michael Cole's a fucking tool.
Just the reaction on everybody's faces, you can't help. Like, I know this sort of paints, like, Spug and in part myself as heartless bastards who laugh at other people's misery, but that's the type of reaction as a wrestler you are so proud to see from a stunt like that.
Dude. You know, the little kid in the purple Cena shit was awesome, but the woman sitting there mouthing, no, 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 she's just all beside herself. Oh my god. Oh my god.
And again, it's one of those things of, this could be bugging myself being a part of the business, but seeing that type of shit just brought a smile to my face because I'm like, well done, you guys have pulled off something fucking amazing.
They did pull off. It was good. I mean, it was a good angle. I'm really interested to see how it turns out tomorrow night as far as, you know, the actual induction of Cena into Nexus.
Oh, because yeah, they'll make a huge ceremony out of it.
They'll make a big brouhaha out of it, which will be interesting to watch.
Oh,
yeah. I may actually watch Raw tomorrow night.
And there's a huge dynamic here, and we discussed it before when this match was first announced. Bragging rights is the next pay-per-view. And John Cena is going to have to side with Nexus against Raw.
Which will also be great. I liked Cena when he was a heel. I really did. He was good...
You're not the only one.
He was a great heel. And I'm really hoping that they turn him heel again and just hand him a microphone and say, talk, go ahead. You've earned it.
Yep, definitely. I loved Cena back in his heels days. I didn't care much for his wrestling, but I liked the character. And I've grown to respect the wrestling, but I've just hated the character.
Well, think about it now. He's 10 times a better wrestler now than he was back then. He's less robotic than he was.
Didn't I just say I've grown to respect the wrestling and just hate the character?
Yes. Yes. But, I mean, think you had the ability to talk then without the ability to wrestle. And now you have the ability to wrestle without the ability to talk, which is kind of dictated by WWE. Put those two together, finally, you might be looking at somebody who would end up being bigger than The Rock.
Ooh, let's not say things that can never happen.
I'm being dead serious, dude.
I don't know. Somebody who might have a chance to rival The Rock, yes, but not somebody who's going to be better than The Rock.
As far as terms of wrestling and in the wrestling industry, he very well could. Dude, Rock had a simpler moveset than John Cena did.
Yeah, that's true. At this point in time, like he's still got a lot. To me, he's got some way to go before he will be on the same level, performance-wise, as The Rock.
For as much as we compare Cena to Hogan, think about it. Look at The Rock, okay? We'll take a moveset by moveset for right now, okay?
They both had some sort of submission finisher. The Rock had the sharpshooter. Cena has the step over toe hold. They both had some sort of elbow drop. The Rock had the people's elbow. John Cena has the five knuckle shuffle. They both had an impact finisher. Rock had the rock bottom. Cena has the attitude adjustment or the STFU or fireman's carry, whatever you want to call it. They also both had some sort of aerial maneuver. Oh my God, what did the Rock use? Someone remind me.
They also had the ability to chain their moves very well together.
Very well.
Like he had the pull in DDT, which always led to the people's elbow.
Right.
Cena's got the what essentially was the proto bomb into the five knuckle shuffle.
Mm-hmm. And he also does.
I get where you're going with this. You know, there's great comparisons between the two, but okay, the only thing that's going to make me believe that Cena is going to be bigger than The Rock is if you have, like The Rock did, you know, WrestleMania 18, where he's standing face to face with Hogan, and you could feel, like, I know it's a cliche, but you could feel the electricity from that match. Hell, I put the DVD on today, and I still feel the electricity from that match.
Yeah, you can.
You give me that moment, and then I will believe Cena is going to be better than The Rock.
Here's the thing. How long did it take into The Rock's career for that moment to come to fruition? Okay? Cena, you look at Cena, okay? They're on very similar career paths. The Rock did have some fan following up until his moment with the Die Rocky Die chance. The moment that happened, and Vince let him go out there with a microphone and just talk and open his mouth, is when he exploded. Now, Cena's a bit far into his career and been a main event status and had several championships and so on and so forth. But I think that this moment, with this match with the Nexus and everything, that it could be Cena's opportunity to finally break out of that Superman, mid-80s Hulk Hogan molding and prove that he's not just a pretty face who sells merchandise, that he actually can talk and can wrestle.
I'm not going to disagree with you there. This moment does give Cena a gateway to become bigger than he is. But I'm still saying, you give me the moment, Rock, Cena, face-to-face, and get the same type of buzz that you got from Hogan Rock back at WrestleMania 18, then I will turn around and I will happily say Cena is bigger and better than The Rock. But until that type of thing happens, I'm still going to sit back and reserve judgment. Because Cena's a long way from done and still can grow quite a lot. I'll admit that right now.
Here's the thing. Don't get it twisted, man. I'm not saying he is bigger and better than The Rock. I'm saying at some point, he could be.
Yeah, it's a possibility, but that's still a long way off. But, yeah. Anyway, we're rambling pretty much. Omega, you want to take control of this shit again?
Please. I should have reeled it in a little while ago, but there's a point to be made about here. WWE has done something that is getting us talking, which is a lot more than they've done in a long time. So I wanted that point to be driven home first. You want to give this a quick rating so we can go on to the really bad shit.
B.
The match itself gets a D. I wasn't a fan of the actual match, but the ending bumped it up to a C.
Yeah, I'm taking a similar route. This was a C match for me, average at best. You go to about a B minus for actually booking a very smart and very well done finish.
I gave it a B across the board. I was impressed with the match. I thought it was a decent match. It's better than the next one.
Yeah, I think so. Unified Divas Championship, Natty's Titties versus Michelle McCool. And Natty wins by disqualification via shoe.
All right.
Who throws a shoe?
Did...
Honestly, you fight like a woman.
All right, I didn't even watch this match. I was busy catching up on what I missed on the pay-per-view, mainly the U.S. title match, which was the opening match. And by reading the comments that were going on our production chat, I'm going to give it an F.
I'll tell you this, the best part of this match was afterwards when Stryker did drop the line from Austin Powers. That was the only thing in this entire match that actually made me smile somewhat. Good lord. And we know Natty can wrestle. We know it.
Yeah, Natalia. Too bad she didn't get a chance to fucking show it.
Yeah, because she's in there with Michelle McTaker.
All right, Tim. Obviously
doing a lot of blowing lately in order to get booked so high on the card.
How do you put that? All right. I want to know. I really and sincerely want to know. How you put a Divas title match, how you put the Divas title match over fucking, you know, Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, well, yeah, see, I understand there are reasons why they do it. I mean, especially because it gives everyone a decent piss break before the main event. But at the same time, they're not worth it. They've never been worth it. They kill the pace of the show by sticking them between two hot matches, or two that were supposed to be hot, I should say.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, with wrestling, and this is something I was taught early on, wrestling is a roller coaster. You know, you build the crowd up, you bring them down again. You build them up, bring them down again. Same with your match planning. You bring the crowd up, you bring them down again. Because if they're going to be hot all night, by the time they get to that main event, they're not going to want to do anything because they're tired. Putting the Divas match in there, which is the low, where they can be quiet, where they don't have to do anything, they get to save up their energy for the main event to make it look bigger and better. Why they decide to put the Divas match there, I have no fucking idea. I would have rather have seen Edge and Swagger's little thing put there as the low rather than the Divas match.
Yeah, you could swap those around. I don't think anyone would have noticed or cared. And it'd still give you a good amount of momentum building into the main event.
But yeah, but at the same time, like about the actual match... You know, as we've mentioned, you know, Natty is more than just a great set of tits. She can actually wrestle really, really well.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, she didn't have a chance to do it. Half the match was spent with Michelle McTaker's legs wrapped around her waist. You know, that was half the match. And then when Natty got on top, no, she got dropped. And then they end it by throwing a fucking shoe in the ring. Do I really need to, you know, Natty is a great wrestler. She can wrestle rings about around 9/10 of these fucking girls. Hell, she could probably have made McCool look like a good wrestler. Like, she does have good fundamentals, but she's nowhere near a great female wrestler. But with Natty, they could have improvised something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this was rest holds and distraction shit, and... We still have yet to see Natty wrestle properly.
That's the problem. I don't think there's anyone in the WWE that could carry a match with her outside of like Gail Kim, who's even less utilized than Natalya.
I would say at this point, even Kelly Kelly would be a better choice. Jillian Hall would be a better choice.
Yeah,
hell, Layla would have been a better choice. Alicia Fox would have been a better choice. They're girls who have baseline that Natty could, you know, and that's the thing with wrestling. You can make your opponent look really good even with a very limited skill set.
Maddie could have done that with any of those girls. Except Michelle McTaker, because she doesn't even have the fucking fundamentals.
So, do we even need to letter grade this?
For the sake of
Bugs F.
Yeah, I think this is an F all around. This was a waste of time. Speaking of main event,
Kane,
was actually good. Main event: Undertaker versus Kane in the Hell in the Cell. Good Lord, where do we begin? Can I just say, I'll say this like right off the top here. This is Kane, Undertaker, Hell in a Cell, world title, main event. If any match screamed bloodbath, this was the one.
Yep, and I think the most we got was Kane got the back of his head split open.
Yeah, and I didn't see him bleeding from it.
No, but it looked like he had a good crater in there, though.
Okay, so Kane gets a boo-boo, and that doesn't really qualify as a bloodbath. This is where Spug is right. I mean, blood is part of the story. This match dragged, like, severely. At least if you had some blood spilling to tell the story of how injured and how beat up these guys were getting, you might have some reason to go that slow. Not in this case.
Hell, I had to ask in the production chat if everybody was asleep, because nobody was talking.
Yeah, they go to slow motion replays, and I couldn't tell which was live and which was the replay. I mean, I know Taker and Kane are getting up there. I know Undertaker has had, you know, more surgeries than most of the locker room combined, but this was absurd. Every moment of this match felt like a rest hold for Taker. Like, the pacing on this match is just terrible. It was
atrociously bad.
Yeah. I think more so because of who was involved in it than the match itself. I mean, it's Undertaker and Kane. We've seen them have really good matches in the past. You know, there is some expectation here that we did not get.
Well, like...
Yeah.
Like,
Spug.
You know, we all saw the ending coming. We did. And if you say you didn't, you're retarded. Because we all saw, you know, the double cross coming. What aggravates the living shit out of me is that at the end of that, at the end of all, you know, he's been there, what, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, 2 weeks.
He's been there 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden, you know, oh, I'm going to go with Kane? It's like, dude, really?
Yeah, this just didn't have enough build-up time.
It made no sense. Like, if this was their plan from the start, then why the hell didn't Paul come out with Kane? You know, okay, Kane took your powers, but guess what? I control them. You know, putting Paul with Taker for 2 weeks and then to have a cross happen didn't really... That made no fucking sense. Like, as Omega, I'm sure, will point out, you know, the idea for the cross makes sense because, you know, Undertaker put him in a block of fucking concrete.
Yeah, which was great when Michael Cole was going, why did he do this? This is shocking. He's like, no, he wasn't. He buried him in goddamn concrete.
But, you know, to only have him with him for 2 weeks and then do the double cross, fucking pointless. It made that last 2 weeks pointless.
Yeah, because this was such an obvious outcome. You knew there was going to be some swerve here. You needed so much more time with this to have Paul Bearer there siding with the Undertaker against Kane. You needed to have a little bit more time than that to just to trust it. Just to actually feel like, hey, he really is on his side. He really is supporting Taker. This just felt, well, rushed as hell, which is exactly what it was. It's the only thing rushed in this whole situation.
Yeah. So it, in the end, this one gets a D for dull as dog shit.
Yeah. With I'll say it, I said it in the chat during the match, I'll say it again. The most forced setup for a spot I've ever seen in my life. Where he's basically Kane's chasing Paul Bearer very slowly around the ring. Bearer puts his urn down in the ring up the steps of the corner that, like the far corner, the farthest corner he could have run to. And then meanders over into another corner just to set up Kane having his back to Taker. And it was so fucking dumb.
Let's give this shit a grade and move on.
Yeah, this match was a D. Spug.
I'm going D.
Yeah. If a shoe had been thrown, that would have been the only thing worse. Hell in the Cell. Final grade. Spug.
C-.
C-. Mace.
Yeah, it gets a C- from me as well. Very average. With the exception of, like, the starting match.
Yeah,
if they had played this in reverse order, I would have given it a higher grade.
Yeah, younger generation really showing that it's ready on this pay-per-view. This is a D-plus from me, because all the stuff that should have sold this pay-per-view was way below standards. If you went and bought this, hoping for a huge match with Kane and Taker, hoping for huge results, you got ripped off tonight. And I feel sorry for everyone, including us here at the WTR Network, that actually paid to see this.
Yep, but all I can say is thank God my stepfather pays for the ones in this house.
But with that, our pay-per-view coverage is over, and we can move on to things we want to talk about.
Yay!
And we will do so, getting into the news and notes of the week right after this commercial break. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Live, and we will be right back.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
This is Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
She sure is.
Oh my God, this is awesome! So, Mom, you got any questions for your son? You want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it would take hours.
Are they going to make steam time? I don't want
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. Is it a photo album somewhere? Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you can tell us about?
No. Well, it's not so much embarrassing. But there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And it seems that him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Morton. I thought he was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with me. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way.
Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesdays, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah.
ago.
Greetings, my fellow geeks. This is Mace of Otaku Talk Live, and I have come out here today to address you as one of you. What I have done is I have created a download-only podcast for those of us who want to sit there and talk about comics, for those of us who want to sit there and just talk video games, and for those of us who just want to sit there and bash the living crap out of movies. What is this called? It's called Bashing the Books. Who are you going to hear on it? Me! You get to hear me go on and on about comic books, movies, and games. So, think of it as a mini OTL, but with more Australians. So, that's Bashing the Books, available hopefully every Wednesday or Thursday, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Otaku Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
WTR Sunday night, getting into the news and notes of the week, and there's just a few to hit before we get into our coverage of Bound for Glory next week. First off, and I think in a very strange set of circumstances, Mick Foley has been appearing in promotionals on WWE, most notably Monday night having his name dropped and his book plugged on the air, and now with an interview on WWE.com for the new book.
And also being added into the alumni section once again.
Right. Now, how strange is this, knowing that for anyone else that goes to TNA, you're completely wiped from existence as far as WWE is concerned?
Not true.
Well, think of the circumstances here. Apparently, this was Vince's call out of respect for what Foley did for the company. But on the other hand, Hulk Hogan's taken out of the alumni section, who freaking built the company in the first place. And you've got guys like Ric Flair, who we've eliminated the open hand chop just so people won't say woo. I mean, this is a show of respect to Foley, then why? I honestly want to know this, and this is going to sound cruel, not to diminish Foley's accomplishments in the WWE, but what is special about Foley's accomplishments that gives him special treatment when these others do not?
And if memory serves me correctly, when Foley left WWE last time, wasn't it, on bad terms with Vince over the whole commentary thing?
I believe it was on bad terms.
And yet he's getting this treatment when his book's coming out.
Because
it's all
make
highly suspect. I know it's Mick Foley, and he's that big, lovable, squishy thing that everybody just seems to like, but I don't know. Is there some sort of alternative thing here? Is this Vince's way of trying to mend some bridges so he can get him away from TNA?
It might be. Now, we know that WWE is kind of searching around for commentators since, you know, they're kind of struggling to fill slots on... Well, I guess now they've got two shows, but, you know, Michael Cole's still on one. So they're only, like, half strength right now.
Well, technically they still have three shows. NXT is now going to the website for the time being.
Yeah, but no one cares.
Exactly.
You might as well be unemployed with the WWE if you're working that show. But we've known for a while that WWE feels that they have a lack of strong commentators. Is there a chance that they might see Mick Foley coming back if they need someone in that role? Or who knows, maybe he's the manager. You never know. Do we know when his contract is up with TNA?
Not a clue, but if Mick Foley turns out to be the Raw GM, Trey called it and our minds will be blown. Well, actually, no, Trey predicted Dixie Carter being the Raw GM, in which case, yeah, that would definitely be a mind-blowing experience.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Now I want to hear Dixie Carter yell for Michael Cole to help her.
That's when you know TNA is in some serious shit.
Oh, yeah.
The only man who can save TNA is Michael Cole! Oh shit, we're all fucked.
Good lord, how low have we gone?
That's what happens when you can't get a deal with Satan.
You go to Michael Cole?
Yep.
Jeez. You think there's something up to this and it's a little bit more than just respect for Foley?
I don't know. I'm sort of 50-50 about, like, I'm half thinking that this could be a way of Vince trying to mend some bridges to bring Foley back to the company when his contract expires. Or it could just be, for the first time in God knows how long, that Vince is just doing a nice thing for a guy who busted his ass for the company.
Now, I would still question that mindset when guys like Flair and Hogan did more and get less.
Yeah.
You also have to remember the way in which Flair left the company.
Yeah, see, that I can understand. Flair left the company on real good terms, big send-off, then he pops up on TNA.
Yeah.
That's a kick to the junk.
This is true.
Hogan, on the other hand, well, it's Hogan. We always know he's going where the money is.
Well, he's got to pay for back surgeries somehow.
Yep. Robo Hogan. Seriously, did you hear the latest on Hogan? Like, just to sidetrack this, because I think the Foley thing's done. Hogan.
Yeah.
Supposedly
he's
getting a spine simulator in, and he's got wires hanging out of him at the moment.
So this is
Hogan.
Yeah. See, there's a character that needs to be in the next TNA video game.
Robo Hogan, sure, and he can team with RoboCop.
Well, this explains why the leg drop so hurts. You know, it's a totally steel leg.
Ah. See, it all connects up and makes sense now.
Mm-hmm. Just like the wires in Hogan's back.
But ba-dum-tsh. Spug, thoughts?
I could care less about what Hogan does.
But he's doing Rent-A-Center commercials now. So, you know, he's just rolling in the money now.
When he starts doing Old Spice commercials, then we'll care again.
For reals, yo.
I'm on a horse, brother.
I'm in the ring, brother.
All right, I've got one more article that was kind of shoved under my nose. How would I pronounce this name? Melissa Bull?
Melissa Buell?
Melissa Buell?
Mm-hmm.
26-year-old fitness model from Vancouver, British Columbia, has signed a developmental contract with WWE. She later sent emails to various news outlets indicating that she has not signed with WWE, noting she was entering a contract and would not be shooting past October 14th.
Doesn't entering a contract mean I've signed the fucking dotted line?
No, not necessarily with the WWE. It could be for a movie or something.
Mm.
Or it
could be possible, but then the other bit is, why the hell did she decide to close her website all of a sudden?
Oh, so the website's closed as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had adult images on it as well. And if it's one thing that WWE doesn't like, it's adult images.
If you're over 6 feet.
Yeah. See that's more the reason why that article became under your nose, was because they got rid of the 6'9" girl. I can't remember her name anymore. And yet they're going to supposedly trying to hire a 26-year-old fitness model.
Yeah. Can we just admit it that they fired Aloisa, whatever her actual name is? Can we just admit that they fired her because she absolutely sucked?
Yeah, I think I was saying that in the beginning. But that's the thing with people like that. She would have been perfect if they had given her, you know, 6 months to a year in developmental. Would have been a great benefit to the company.
Yeah, I almost think that's what they're doing, is that they're just letting her go back to indies for a while, you know. See, since she's just too green for us to handle, let her do the indie circuit, and let's not burn the bridge completely. We'll say that she got fired for risque images, which is as believable as, you know, we fired him because he choked someone with a tie.
Yeah. But this is the thing. Yeah, I don't see a point in having to let her go completely from the company. Whereas, you know, they could have had her back in developmental. If you go to the website set up for these developmental, like FCW and back in OVW days, these places train from the ground up. So why not just send her back, get her, redo her basics, and build her up over time? Because, you know, they've already got one of the tallest guys in the wrestling business in the Great Khali. They've got the Big Show, who's a veteran of being a big guy. Then to add to that one of the tallest female competitors in wrestling, you know, there's something that's going to draw people to your show. You've cornered the market on the big people. Now, if they'd only corner the midget market, they'd be right.
Idiots. You knew that gets bug talking again.
Yeah. But when they turn around and they fire somebody who, with a bit of training, could become a great benefit for the company advertising-wise, for quite possibly yet another fitness model, because just remember, three-quarters of the girls on the current NXT are fucking fitness models with next to no training. It makes you wonder how picky and choosy they are and how much looks play. You know, do they have to be the stick figure with big silicone tits before they'll get hired with the WWE?
Well, we know Kelly was hired out of a magazine. They picked up a modeling magazine. They picked someone with good tits and blonde hair, and they signed her on the spot.
Yeah, and they've spent, the past 5 years building Kelly into what?
A C-minus wrestler.
There you go.
Whereas you have somebody who does have some background in wrestling. And, yeah, okay, she's not the best worker, but she can work to a small degree for her size. She needs to be taught properly how to work as someone who is overly tall, which is where you turn around and say, Big Show, trainer. How simple is that? You know, and then you teach her how to bump like a big person. But no, because she's not fucking, you know, weighing 10 fucking pounds right. or something and, you know, 600 cc's of silicone.
Yeah, I think our lesson here is that if you're a female indie wrestler, you have next to no chance of getting in the WWE. Go into modeling. That's a good end.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I reckon I'd love to see 9/10 of the Shimmer roster end up on WWE. They're good looking girls and they can wrestle.
Yeah, well, that would be smart. Moving on, gentlemen. Next
preview
week is
time.
Preview time. Next week is the big TNA Bound for Glory 10-10-10. This is the big one for TNA, their WrestleMania, so it's had all of, what, 3 weeks build up?
No, it's had a bit more than that. They've been building this up over the last 2 months. Depends on how far back you want to go, especially with Abyss, with the whole they concept that started nearly 2 to 3 months ago. And that was your basics of your 10-10-10. And then over time, they've just slotted the matches in.
Well, how about we take a look at the matches here and run them down real quick?
Sure, why not?
Lethal Lockdown, Fortune versus ED 2.0. A match of two of the least successful factions in history. Mace.
Yeah. I've actually been enjoying... I enjoyed Fortune to start with. Now it's just becoming very stale very quickly. Again, it suffered an NWO problem. They started putting too many guys into it. When it was just Flair, AJ, and Beer Money, you know, that I enjoyed. Now that they've added Kazarian and Matt Morgan, and I'm sure that there's other people put into that, it just sort of feels oversaturated. Small groups work best, which is why Nexus is somewhat succeeding.
Even though Monday night they're going to have 8.
Yeah, and then it becomes an NWO type thing where you might have a splinter group. We don't know yet. That's tomorrow night.
You know, John Cena might do the HBK thing and immediately, you know, hammer someone out of the group.
Yep, you never know that.
Spug, do you have a thought on...
I wouldn't say they're two of the least successful factions in history. Remember, Legacy was a faction, and they were pretty unsuccessful, too.
Like a
I
what?
I just say that because every time I see Fortune in a match, they're either losing a title match or just losing a match in general. Like, I thought the whole point of a faction was to actually, you know, like, use heel tactics to keep winning constantly. I don't know, maybe that's just me. Does anyone have a prediction they'd like to throw out?
Fortune.
Spug?
I'm gonna go with Fortune as well.
Yeah. I'll make it 3. Fortune, I think, needs this, if only to get the TNA locker room to shut up about EV 2.0 taking all their jobs. I'm sorry, it needs to end.
Yeah, pretty much.
Monsters Ball, Abyss versus Rob Van Dam, where we will finally see them.
This will be fun because it'll have blood and the match won't be stopped.
Oh, yeah. I remember what blood looks like. It was fun.
Yeah, this is one of those matches where, like we said for Undertaker and Kane, it sort of demands a bloodbath. And if there's two guys that are going to give it to us, it's going to be RVD and Abyss.
Yeah, if anything, RVD is, I've said it before, wasted in this. Even though, fine, it's a feud they built up, there is some build to this, okay. He still should be in the world title picture faster than this, and with bringing in they, you know, unless they turns out to be Abyss's pet hamsters, RVD's going to lose this match. Otherwise, the build-up to they is going to be a complete waste.
Yeah, I'll agree with that one. I'm going to go as far as to say they, or you know, their appearance is the thing that causes RVD to lose.
Yeah, that would not surprise me in the least. So I guess that's your prediction for the match?
Pretty much.
Spug, thoughts, predictions?
I'm going to go RVD. Just because.
I'm sorry. I will regret this at some point. But I have to go Abyss on this one. If only because of, you know, Mace being right. They built up the they thing for a long time. And if this doesn't pay off, it's going to be a total waste. So RVD kind of has to lose this one, I'm afraid.
Yep.
TNA Tag Team Championships. This time, this match was actually signed in advance. Motor City Machine Guns versus Generation Me.
Yeah, I haven't really cared about the build-up of this. It was basically one of those things of, yay, we injured one of your boys, and we steal one of your tag belts. Now we want a tag title shot. Really?
Yeah.
I don't give a flying fuck about Generation Me. They have done nothing to impress me. I would have loved to have seen Beer Money get another shot over this. But it'll be a bouncy, flippy, turn your brain off and enjoy while the drool's coming out the side of your mouth style match.
Yeah, I think the problem with this one is that the Machine Guns and Beer Money have brought the house down on every match of that best of five series they had, that you really can't follow it very well. And Generation Me, I'm sorry, just does not have enough build. That looks, they're like the tag team that TNA keeps on the side just in case they need a tag team for anything.
Pretty much. Yeah, hell, throw some other two random guys. Actually, give me Magnus and McGinnis. Give me the guys who were originally supposed to go for the belts.
Yeah, no kidding. Do we even know what Desmond Wolfe's doing these days? Since he was mysteriously
hanging out in shopping malls with Brutus Magnus. The last time I ever saw him, and that was on Reaction.
Jeez. Your prediction. Undisclosed injury. He broke his balls.
Yeah, he broke his pinky finger. But, yeah, going Machine Guns for the match.
Likewise. Spug?
Machine Guns.
Another sweep in the predictions. TNA Knockout Championship. Angelina Love versus Sky, Rain, and Tara.
This would be fun.
Yeah, look, there's talented people in this match.
Yeah, but also the fact that I've actually been enjoying this little storyline since Tara was revealed as the biker chick. I don't know, I just like a good old-fashioned catfight. Plus, hey, it's got Angelina Love involved with Sky. They're hot.
Yeah, see, Angelina Love, Velvet Sky, and, ooh, a lesbian thing going on.
Hmm.
How could this match go wrong?
The only thing that could make it better would be a pool full of Jell-O.
Indeed.
Okay. You want to make a prediction first?
No matter who wins, we all win because we see titties. Hooray, titties.
I'm going to say Madison reigns through some bullshit, or I'm thinking Lacey interference botches something.
I'm going to say Tara.
The pay-per-view.
I'll say Tara. If I have to give a prediction, I'll say Tara.
I'm thinking Love retains on this one.
But Lex Bug said, we all win because we see titties.
Yeah. Poor Velvet Sky. She's the only one to get no support.
She doesn't need it. Have you seen those things lately?
Wrong
topic.
She needs support. That's a lot of gravity going on there.
For real.
Anyway, we have other matches.
All right. TNA World Championship. Angle, Anderson, Hardy.
I don't care because this is going to be fucking awesome. I'm sorry, as much as, Kurt Angle, one of the best wrestlers around, Anderson has been doing well, even if I still hate his fucking character to bits. Hardy will bring the added element of, oh look, spots! That's gonna make everybody pop and be happy. This match is going to be fucking good. It's not going to be like match of the year, but it's gonna be good. As for who's gonna win, I'm going to say Kurt Angle, because, on the other side of the things, he just re-signed his contract, so I don't think he's going to be retiring anytime soon.
Yeah, most likely not. Well, you've got Anderson and Hardy, who put on a hell of a match at the last pay-per-view, even if the ending was shit. Now you've added Kurt Angle to the mix, who, say what you will, still one of the best wrestlers out there. You're right. I don't think there should not be any way of failing this match. This should warrant being the top match on the top show of the year.
Yep.
Who are you going to pick? I can't pick Hardy because he could be going to jail at any moment. And I can't pick Anderson either. I'm hesitant to think of him as a world champion just yet.
I will pick Mr. Anderson.
Well, you have to stick with your fellow asshole.
Indeed.
Yeah, so I have to pick Angle, if only because, it's a safe pick.
I will pick Anderson. I think he's ready. I do think he's ready to get that spotlight run.
Is that all?
That is all. We will see. I hope someone was writing that down, because we will see in precisely 1 week. And now, with that out of the way, gentlemen, it is time for the WTR Roundtable.
It's time. Tonight, WTR Roundtable.
And our topic for tonight, currently in wrestling, who has the best hits?
Yes, as we have spoken many times on this program, we love Natty's titties. We had a slight conversation just before about Velvet Sky's voluptuous tatas. But the rules for this one, as I was the one who absentmindedly came up with it, it has to be somebody currently wrestling. So we're not talking, and this is going to kill Omega, you can't say Trish Stratus. It has to be somebody currently on a roster of
the WWE or TNA that he's currently wrestling that you have seen on TV recently. So we shall start with Omega with his pick.
This is a little difficult here. I don't know. I will say, Mace, defying what most people think, I bet you're the one who came up with this.
That
Mace
is correct. Came up with
it. Yeah. See, this is the topic I would expect out of, like, Spug.
Yeah, this was just something I sort of threw out there because, hey, we don't have Tim here to say, you can't say Natty's titties! So this is our way of having fun when Tim's not around. And just to clarify this one, as it's been asked in the chat room, Mickey James does not count, even though she has pretty much signed with TNA. She has yet to debut on television. So they have to be a contracted wrestler who has appeared on TV.
Right, so you have to be able to currently see her titties.
Correct.
I can't pick Trish.
See, that's
God
why I put that rule in there, because I wanted to see you pick somebody else but Trish.
God damn you. We all love Natty's titties around here, but you know what? Jeez, if I have to pick anyone right now, I like the chest on Gail Kim. It's just nice size, nice shape, and I've actually seen them.
Nice. I'll take it up next, and as it's already been mentioned on this program, I am going with Velvet Sky. She has some of the most firm, perky, round, yeah, they might be fake as all hell, but I don't give a flying fuck. She has the best tits in wrestling, and every time she comes out or appears on screen on TNA, I tell you exactly where my eyes are locked, brother. So my pick, definitely Velvet Sky for the best tits in wrestling. And now we're going to have to go to the Prince of Porn, Spug, for his pick, and you know this is going to be a doozy.
My vote goes to Tara.
Ooh.
Natty's got great titties. But those things are flotation devices, not real titties. You look at Tara's titties, and yeah, they're probably fake. But they look pretty damn real, and they look pretty damn good.
And currently they're modeling skin-tight leather of some kind.
Exactly. So go, go, Gadget, Tara's titties.
So, yeah, unfortunately, we're just the three of us
here. Horrible mental images now.
Why? All I'm thinking is, you know, if Spug ever met Tara, it'd be, go, go, motorboat!
Totally.
I'm thinking of titties on a spring coming out of Gadget's hat.
Totally. Totally, I'd be like, go, go, Gadget, motorboat.
And yes, I know I'd be fighting Trey to get a shot at Velvet's titties, but fuck, I'd take him on. Yeah, a very, very, very short roundtable this week, given it's the three of us, but hey, it's one of the more interesting topics we've had.
Very large in its own way. On that note, we're taking a final commercial break of the night. We are coming back with the great debate and quick hits. You are listening to WTR Sunday Night. Stay tuned. We will be back.
Hey everyone, this is Sarakin, the producer of Anything Goes, which you can hear every Thursday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, like most guys, and quite frankly girls out there, probably want to know what's going on through the mind of Cindy Sin.
Well, here's a little secret. I have the inside scoop with that connected. And, well, I've been secretly taping her dreams for a while now. So, let's hear what goes on.
Eat my pussy. I like big cocks. Fuck me harder. Fuck, I'm vibrating here. Sir Rockin is the greatest producer on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Rock is number one.
Really, Cindy? You really think of me like that? Oh, that's so sweet.
Eat my pussy.
You want to know more about her dreams and fantasies and all of her, well, sexual desires? Tune in Thursday nights for Anything Goes, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'll even be there. Unless she kills me for taping this.
Rock?
Oh, crap. She found out. I'm a dead man.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. The one tuned in to WildTalkRadio.com. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for tuning into this fine program right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Well, it's a new day about it. They say it's new,
and welcome back to WTR Sunday Night. Gentlemen, it is time once again for our great debate. Searching once again for the greatest gimmick match of all time. Tonight, three. We are doing three.
Didn't we do one of these last week?
I can remember. Well, now we're repeating them as we get into the later rounds. I'm getting lost. All right. Okay.
Clarification. Yeah.
So that's why we're just still. I don't know why we're doing three, but let's do three.
We're doing three because next week is the finals in a triple threat match, which is a gimmick match in and of itself.
Oh.
Ooh. I see what
you
did
there.
Sneaky bastard.
So clever here.
Yep.
Tonight on the card, death match versus strap match, single stipulation matches versus battle royal. But we are starting with the Iron Man match versus the ladder match, and I will ask Spug to start us.
This one's easy. I mean, the Iron Man match, yeah, produced one iconic moment, and there have been other good Iron Man matches, but none on the level of that first one with Brett and and Sean. But if you want to go for overall best gimmick by these two, you have to go with a ladder match. You had Sean versus Razor, Money in the Bank, the WrestleMania 17, Triple Threat tag team ladder match. I mean, there's been so many great ladder matches throughout the history. Even going way back to Junkyard Dog versus Jake the Snake in a ladder match. In Stampede in Calgary. There have been phenomenal ladder matches throughout the history of wrestling. So, to me, this is the better stipulation.
Right. 1-0 ladder match. Mace.
I, too, am going for the ladder match, only because when I think Iron Match, I think 1 hour long, very dragged out matches where the guys basically just hit the crap out of each other and throw in a few holds. If it was something along the lines of wrestling, then I'd probably go for that. But the thing is, ladder match is just more exciting overall. It's quicker paced. It keeps your interest. And there's been that many variations and great moments that you have to go for the ladder match.
All right. Well, that pretty much does it already. The ladder match moving on to the Triple Threat Finals. I will make it a perfect sweep. The ladder match, as I've said, is just a really innovative place, and it's a far more exciting match. I like the Iron Man match. I like how definitive it is as a final match to a feud. But there's just way too much that can go on in a ladder match for innovation and excitement. It makes for the better spectacle. So ladder match moving on. Next up, strap match or death match? And this time, Mace, please start.
All right. Quick clarification. When we're talking death match, are we talking WWE style death match that they used to do in the 80s and early 90s? Or are we talking?
We're talking modern bloodbath death match.
Okay, so we're talking CZW, not Japanese style.
No, that includes, you know, your explosive barbed wire electrified cages that Japan likes so much.
Yeah, right. See, if we're going purely off the Japan one, I'd have to say deathmatch. Again, because it's one of those things where you keep up a crowd excitement. Yes, it's a lot of risk to the wrestlers, but the rewards have been great moments. You know, there's always that photo that Mick Foley always seems to break out. He's holding the deathmatch trophy over his head from 95 after beating the crap out of Terry Funk, and he's covered in blood. He's one of those moments that made his career. Strap matches, I've never really liked them. I've found them, again, slower paced, boring, lots of choke holds, especially when they have to do the four turnbuckles bit. Again, drawn out, boring. Deathmatch, fast paced, exciting, explosions, pretty sparkly. So deathmatch.
Alright, 1-0 deathmatch. Spug.
I'm gonna make it 2-0 and go deathmatch as well. Deathmatches were deathmatches to me have always been a niche sort of gimmick, but they can hold their own when meshed in with other gimmicks or just straight up wrestling. I mean, CZW's Cage of Death tournament that they have every year, it doesn't just have death matches on it. It has, you know, a lot of traditional wrestling matches, and throughout the course of a show, you're going to need those kind of ebbs and flows, and that's one of those matches that can get the crowd really hyped up. It gets the reaction that you want for the most part out of the crowd. Strap matches to me, while it's a decent gimmick and there can be bloodshed and violence and it can tell a story, a la Piper versus Greg Valentine in the dog collar match, it's just not on the level of the death match.
All right. Once again, my vote is moot as the death match moves on. Just for the sake of principle, I'm voting the strap match. just because I like the psychology of the match better. It provides a unique environment, whereas I still can't see a death match as anything more than a much bloodier hardcore match. And blood does, you know, making people bleed over profusely, I do not equate to entertainment. Of course, that's my personal opinion, so, you know, in this case, it really doesn't matter. The 2-1 deathmatch moves on. Finally tonight, single stipulation matches or battle royals. Spug.
Why don't you start first, Mr. Man?
No, I'm the host. Host always goes last.
I love battle royals, but I'm going to go single stipulation matches. I'm going to go personally with that because I think single stipulation matches, you have the ambulance match, caskets, tables, object on a pole. I think we put that in the single stipulation category. A battle royal is pretty cut and dry and plain and simple. In single stipulation matches, as far as the gimmicks are concerned, you have a little bit more variety.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're voting single stipulation 1-0. Mace.
Pretty much like Bug said, it's variety. With the stipulation matches, it's going to win out with this one. You know, battle royal is just that. You throw guys over top rope, they hit floor, they're gone. When there's one guy left, you win. Whereas the single stipulation, you've got a plethora of different matches to choose from with their own storytelling elements, with their own way of being done properly. And, yeah, it's choosing quantity over, well, one.
I really think this is an unfair category. You've got so many matches that count as single stipulation, and some are really good and some are horrible. For every buried alive that I can think of, you know, you've got your San Francisco 69ers match.
For every great casket match, you have X on a pole match.
It's horribly unbalanced. It's like you said, it's like 50 different types of matches compared to one. You know, I think the Battle Royal is a great gimmick match. It's the original gimmick match that an entire pay-per-view can be built around.
Yeah, you but know? for every Royal Rumble 92, there's a Royal Rumble 2007.
Yeah, but you can't.
I'm just saying.
Oh, I know. But even then, there are stipulation matches. I mean, there have been bad casket matches too. But there have also been good ones. So even a good stipulation, it also has its sour points too. We're not judging the quality of the match. We're judging the quality of the gimmick. Unfortunately, I will have to vote single stipulation just because, you know, there are a lot more matches that I like better than the Battle Royal. I just think I'd rather be judging them independently rather than, you know, putting them all together. You know, this is ganging up pretty much. But who might argue? I'm the fill-in. So single stipulation moves on, and we have our finals. Next week on The Great Debate, the ladder match versus death match versus single stipulation to determine the best gimmick of all time.
And with that being said, here's Rapid Fire. A quick hit. Whatever the hell we call it these days. Play the music!
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
This is the point of the show where I stop being producer and actually
become part of the show and ask you guys questions because Tim Stein's not here. So we will start off with Spug. What's your favorite Hell in a Cell match?
Spug. Spug coughing and spluttering before. Might want to come back to him.
What's your favorite Hell in a Cell match?
My favorite Hell in a Cell match?
Yeah.
Well, everybody says Hell in a Cell 98 with you know, Foley and Taker. I think one of my favorite Hell in a Cell matches, honestly, is Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker. Because that match was just absolutely brutal, and you could see throughout the workings of the match the untold story of the veteran respecting the rookie just a little bit at the end of that match.
Okay. Let's move on to Mace. What's the best submission hold in wrestling?
Best submission hold in wrestling. Geez, that's actually a really good one, because there's that many friggin' submissions out there.
Well, that's why I asked it.
My submission holds the best.
Oh, Jesus.
Choking your wife doesn't count.
No. I use a submission hold as a finisher. My submission holds the best.
I'm going to go with sort of a three-way tie, but sort of it's the way that they're done. Sleeper hold, crossface chicken wing, and the Kata Hajime.
The Kata Hajime is up there, yeah. I'll give you that one.
See, the three of those being choke-out submissions, I will give it to all three of them.
Here you go, Mace. Mexican surfboard mixed with a buffalo sleeper.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. That would look impressive, hurt like hell, but yeah. But I won't give it the top spot, I'll give it to the three that I mentioned before.
I knew you would. I'll have to...
That being said, yes, ouch.
Well, I'm supposed to wrestle in November. Is the next show I'm wrestling. I'll see if I can't slap it on somebody and get somebody to take footage of it, and I'll send it to you so you can see that thing.
Sweet. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. Omega, what's your favorite Jim Ross line?
My favorite Jim Ross line? I'm trying to remember some specific ones. Like, I remember the one-liners that he coined. You know, like, I remember, you know, things like Through Hellfire and Brimstone that really kind of stick with me more than anything. Not any one specific line. I will, in that spirit, I'll have to say, anytime he mentioned the word slobber knocker, it made me laugh my ass off. I'm still not sure what a slobber knocker is.
Knockdown, dragout fight. That's what it is. It's a Midwestern thing. Dude, you're from Indiana. You should understand.
I was 9 when we moved, okay? Nobody told me I would ever get into a slobber knocker.
Fair enough.
Alright, let's go back down to Mace. Mace, what are three qualities that make up the perfect manager?
Three qualities that make up the perfect manager. One, the most important, the ability to talk. If you can't talk, then you might as well not be a manager, because that's what they are. They are a mouthpiece for the guy that they are representing. That being said, a good character to represent is a good quality for a manager, because if you don't know your character, then again, don't be a manager. Third would be pretty much your gimmick or your look. You know, the guys who are the classic managers in that we remember are guys like Bobby the Brain Heenan, Paul Bearer, Mouth of the South Jimmy Hart. These are guys that either went very professional with their look, or they went very out there, very silly. These are guys that are memorable for how they looked as much as how they talked.
So there's your three.
There you go. Spug, what's the best thing about pro wrestling?
The ability to suspend belief and enjoy yourself for a 2 to 3 hour period at a time.
And now to Omega.
Mm-hmm.
What's the perfect Halloween costume for Spug?
Jeez. Probably a giant condom.
That's not my Halloween costume this year.
I don't know. I just imagine you as a giant prick so often. It just seemed to fit.
Actually, my daughter and I are dressing up as the Hulk and the She-Hulk for Halloween.
That's going to be so cute for your daughter to do. You're just going to be scary as fuck.
We even got green latex paint. We're going to paint her little arms and face green.
Oh, boy.
Photos.
I will have photos.
And I guess with that said, that's been Quick Hits for another week here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Oh,
which
I just
means we're done.
We are done, but I have to answer one of Omega's questions real quick.
Oh,
yeah.
Best JR line? He's whipping him like a government mule.
But we guys should chill because there's big things happening this week on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Is it Johnny Cashmere debuting this week?
This Tuesday night, Man Mind and Body with Matt and Johnny, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Who's on OWW Radio? I might actually show up this week.
I don't know who. He hasn't said who his guests are yet this week.
I might actually show up. I felt like crap last Tuesday and Wednesday, dude. I slept when I got home from work.
Yes. Speaking of OWW Radio, 9 p.m., and there might be a special Anything Goes after that. All that, so keep checking the website for all that. Tuesday could be a big night for the Wild Talk Radio Network. But Wednesday night, you guys are geeks.
Yes.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yes, we have over a week's worth of news to catch up on. There has been big changes in the world of gaming. EA Arts removing stuff from games, Nintendo putting stuff out for the 3DS, and lots more. The only way you're going to find out is to listen to OTL Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Bravo.
I had to learn something, Tim.
Yeah,
it wasn't his sense of humor, that's for sure.
Yeah, speaking of Tim, you can check out the roast of Tim Stein that we conducted last night with all of us, which was hilarious, by going to wildtalkradio.com.
Yes.
Check out the archive.
Also, Bashing the Books, episode 4, arriving a bit late, is currently available to download in the archive section of wildtalkradio.com. I will try to have one out on time this week, but like Spug, I was sick as a fucking dog. So I need to rest up and make sure I didn't sound like an old man. AKA Tim.
Yeah. Saturday night is the debut of the TD Top 20 Country Music Countdown hosted by The Trade-Off. Check that out. And then following that is CB Radio.
Yes, and one last small shout-out to Wrestling News Live this week, half an hour after Raw goes off the air. They have Kurt freaking Angle on as a guest. Listen to Wrestling News Live and to hear that interview with Kurt Angle.
Yes. We broke it on CB Radio last night.
Yes, before half the show actually knew about it.
Yeah, I knew way before they.
I will definitely have to show up if they're having Kurt Angle.
Yeah, they're having Kurt Angle. I knew I knew way before JJ knew. So that's awesome. Anyway,
with all the shilling out of the way, thank you everyone for tuning in to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. We are live again next week after Bound for Glory, 11 p.m. Eastern, for all of the news of the week and for the pay-per-view coverage. We will see you then.
Yeah. You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.